Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue-collar BS into some blue-collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn the collective impact by youth for youth, that mental health and social media has a major impact on our population, SkillsUSA and SkillsJam, and the supply-demand imbalance in the collective trades world.
Today's guest is Mark Hedstrom, a Gen X passionate about making a collective impact in the skills career world by leveraging youth-to-youth communication to grow the pool of potential workers year over year. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to Blue Collar BS. Brad, how you doing, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle. We are getting that second summer here in Wisconsin, and I think Mother Nature is going to play some tricks on us here sooner rather than later and turn it into snow, sleet, rain, etc.
I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to some snow. Love me some snow.
It's too early for that.
No, let's bring it.
No, I got. Hopefully, I got two more months of golf going on.
No, you can have all your pumpkin spice latte. You know,
No. Hey, it's not pumpkin spice latte. It's PSL, Steve.
You gotta talk
to kids. What do your daughters call it? PSL, right?
They're not into it.
Okay.
They're not into it.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah. So with that being said, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
Today on our show, we have Mr. Mark Hedstrom. In his role today, he is the executive director of the Skilled Careers Coalition, and he creates and shapes and directs the mission and strategy for that organization to inspire and connect and convert the next generation of skilled talent to create a talent pipeline to help close the gap that we have in our labor pool. He was previously part of and worked as the executive director of the Movember Foundation for 11 years, raising over $220 million. Congratulations, Mark.
That's awesome.
For men's mental health, suicide prevention, prostate and testicular cancer, has worked at some other large organizations, Oakley, the Arbor Collective. He's been a lot of different places, and we are blessed and humbled that he found our little show to come on and talk multi-generational skilled workforce. So Mark, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Really looking forward to the conversation.
He says that now.
So before we jump in, and I'm going to forget because I almost did, which generation, Mark, do you fit in with?
I am squarely in Xer. So around about the time, I think I'm smack dab in the middle, or maybe early Xer. So I was definitely leading from the front.
Awesome. So
Steve, you cannot claim that.
I can't claim leading from the front in Gen X. Nope, I can't do that. But I can also claim we're not in the millennial. Squarely, absolutely not. Not even in the friend zone. Nope, we are also in Gen X.
Fine, whatever. It's okay.
So Mark, help us understand, how did you go from being in the part of the Movember Foundation to joining the Skilled Careers Coalition?
Yeah, it's and I think Brad mentioned a little bit about my background. So spent a lot of time in the healthcare sector for a number of years. So I was in advocacy and policy work in the state of Massachusetts when I first started out. Spent a bunch of time in the Midwest prior to that. So I went to school in Illinois, so kind of smack dab between where you guys are at. But in or around the time that I was coming out of there's an action sports space where I spent a little time, building snowboards in random parts of the world, all the way through to sunglasses at Oakley. I came across the opportunity to work at Movember and loved what they were doing as a brand in the nonprofit space. And just fast forwarding that to, 11 years in, learning that there was opportunity to leverage what I had done with Movember, particularly around having conversations with men and young boys about mental health and suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer, to some other large issues that we face as a nation, and particularly with the skilled trades, or as we refer to it, the skilled careers challenge that we see in this country, applying the same principles of that and looking for that next thing for me to kind of sink my teeth in and drive my passion.
So Skilled Trades Coalition, right? It's to bridge that gap. Where are you finding the greatest success to create opportunity for young men and women to understand what opportunities exist, and then connecting those to industry leaders who may or may not be ready for those young individuals? How are you bridging that gap to connect those two things?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that we look at the Skilled Careers Coalition. First and foremost is we are out of sync on demand and supply, right? So we have a high demand for talented workforce that is not being met by the supply. We've underinvested in CTE programming in this country for, let's just argue, 50 years, could be 60 years, but it's been underinvested in for a long, long time. And at the same time, you know, as an Xer, I was told that a four-year degree was the thing to do, right? And you had this stigma around a blue-collar job, as it used to be called, or a trade job, or you went to the trade high school. And I think we did a real disservice to the country, let alone all the different workers in that space, around divesting of all that infrastructure that we know really kind of makes America work. And so you had this massive change in how people perceived what a skilled trade was or a blue collar job was. And it led a lot of people down the path of going to 4-year degrees. And now what you're starting to see is a pushback on the fact that you actually can be entrepreneurial. You can have a highly successful career. You can come out of school and training without a massive amount of debt and have a fulfilling career and a fulfilling life. And so part of our work in the Skilled Careers Coalition is first and foremost in that demand supply issue that we see is we've got to really amp up the supply. How do we get, you know, millennials, Gen Z, and you know, emerging alphas to be excited about either looking at retraining into a skilled career or actually training and going to, you know, trade school, high schools, CTE programs across the country to look at that as a third option for them, right? Right now, the university system in this market, if you look at some of the numbers, they probably spend about $1.2 billion plus in marketing to our students. The military is comparable. They spend about $1.1 to $1.3 billion on marketing to parents and high school students about those two options for them. We're not doing the same, or at least we're doing it in a disaggregated way. So a lot of our work in youth marketing is really creating content by youth for youth, talking to younger individuals as a peer, right? It's certainly not me. I'm an Xer. But getting younger millennials or Gen Z, people who are coming through training, to talk to other kids about what's happening, other students about why they're excited about that skilled career that they've undertaken. And I think, Brad, just to put a point on your second part of the question is, how do we get them ready for that workforce or those employers? The second piece we look for is, you know, we've got to destigmatize skilled careers, right? How do we do that via youth marketing? And how do we aggregate or at least create better efficiencies in a very siloed ecosystem around recruiting people into that space and then placing them in jobs that employers are looking for? It's completely disaggregated if you look at it. I think you guys know this from your own experience. Yep. There's just this massive amount of siloing that's happening. Everyone's trying to solve this problem, but they're doing so independently. So our second focus is in that coalition, in that collective space. Right? And this is just my learning from my background and what people do in nonprofit is how do we drive collective impact? So what's your core competencies? What are mine? How do we work together? Because if we can, then we move further, faster to solving this problem.
Very on point with the collective input, because we are definitely not seeing that. Every company, every, I would say, even association, they're addressing it only for their specific needs and not as a like an industry collective, because nobody is spending in the trades anywhere near $1 billion in marketing.
Not even the unions. The unions aren't even doing that.
No.
So how are you seeing any engagement? Typically, it's a male-dominated industry. Are you seeing with your youth-to-youth type marketing, are you seeing greater engagement on the female side to attract women into the trades and bring them in? Because it's a math problem at the end of the day. And we don't have enough population of Gen Z, Gen Alpha total to replace Boomer X leaving. The numbers, it's still a math problem. If we do it by gender, which I don't even know what that means anymore today, there's not enough people in totality. So are you seeing some females activity in your?
Yeah, back to the demand supply issue, or supply demand, as most people refer to it. You know, when we look at that space, so just to do that math for a second and just keeping it simple, right? I think part of the problem is that these things are such large issues that we get really convoluted and tied up on ourselves. Is like, what's the real issue here? What are we trying to do? So when we step back and look at the basic problem, right? Arguably right now, from what we've seen, there's about 10 to 11 million students going through CTE programming in this country, right? At the same time, 10,000 boomers are retiring, a lot of them in skilled careers, right? So for every five plumbers that are retiring, we only have one plumber coming through the system. So that clearly is just it's an outsized challenge with supply demand. Just to take that further, so you've got 10 to 11 million students. We see, you know, if you look at Gen Z, it is actually a massive population. It's about 65 million individuals between the ages of 10 and 24 today. That's a big cohort of people we should be looking at, right? And then you take in active duty that are potentially retiring from active duty and going into, you know, reserves or, you know, out into the workforce. You've got veterans, you've got people who are coming out of prisons. And when we look at that in totality, there's about 70 million people we should be talking to about skilled careers. Right now, if you do the math, 10 to 11, there's only about 16% of those individuals are converting to CTE programs or going through a skilled career training protocol. If we just improve that by 8%, that's another 6 to 7 million workers. That's not hard to do if we do it together. And I think that's the point is, you know, what you just said, Brad, is everyone's kind of working on this separately. I'd argue we're actually probably spending close to $1 billion+ individually, Skilled Careers Coalition, what you guys are doing, other people in industry trying to solve this problem, but we're not doing it together. So there's no cohesive messaging. There's nothing to come alongside a four-year degree or the military and say, hey, here's this third opportunity you should be thinking about, and messaging that the same way. And doing it, I think probably more importantly, doing it in places where millennials and Zs are spending their time, which is not on a website. They don't spend any time on a website.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you have kids. I have a young son who's 11. They're texting. They're on their phone. They don't even use their phone as a phone. They're texting. And that's how you have to be communicating with them. So I think there's a sea change in thinking about how you talk to the younger workforce that's coming up, but recognizing there's a huge opportunity, 70 million individuals in that cohort that we should be talking to and thinking about how do we convert just another 8% of them.
Right.
Now, knowing where the kids are at from us, I would say from a technology standpoint, what have you seen that's been most successful as a strategy for reaching those kids?
Yeah, that's as I said, I'm an Xer, and I'm definitely getting a certain age, so I'm not the person to talk about, you know, what the conversation is that they're having. But look, I just want to acknowledge, you know, obviously on the lead in, you guys know I spend a lot of time in men and boys' mental health, and I think social media has a positive side to what it can do, particularly when we look at this type of issue of sending positive messaging out there, showing peers who are passionate about being a plumber or passionate about being a carpenter to other individuals who might want to explore that. So, but there's always that downside, right? There's a lot of conversation right now as to what social media is doing to young individuals. And correct. I just want to acknowledge that that is a challenge and something we need to be considerate of. But when you look at where they're spending your time or where they're consuming information, it is online. That is where marketing is happening. If you are a 35-year-old plumber now, or a carpenter, and you want to start getting business coming in, you should be thinking about how you're leveraging social media to do that. It's not the traditional back of the newspaper. And it can be.
Newspaper. Who's paying a newspaper? My wife actually stopped our newspaper subscription because it would never show up on time in the morning on the Sunday for the Sundays. Like, we'll just get the digital and we're done with it.
So I think there's, you know, this very powerful little computer we're all holding in our hands, particularly our younger generations, like that's where they're spending their time and that's how you communicate to them. But I think you got to do it in such a way that's authentic. And that's kind of the last point, you know, just in my work at Movember and talking to men about mental health, when we're talking to younger individuals about a skilled career as an option for them, it's got to be something that looks and feels and talks like them. It can't be me, a Gen Xer, talking about, you know, why I'm doing, because it's just not authentic to someone who's younger. I do think there's opportunity to look at me as an Xer and talk about my 30 years of experience and how I can help individuals who are younger than me learn from that experience or avoid the mistakes or hurdles that that I encountered. So there's a lot of opportunity in there. It's just we've got to be focused on authentic, peer-based. They look like me. They talk like me. And in places they're spending their time.
So what would be your largest win so far with the coalition? From your viewpoint, what's the biggest win to date?
I think it's a lot of our work in Skills Jam, which is our social media platform. It's really where we're generating a lot of this content. One of our key partners in that space is Skills USA, an amazing organization that's student member led. They have over 400,000 students in CTE program in the US, and they're just amazing, amazing individuals. And the organization's incredible in terms of what they're trying to do. And it's not just the hard skills, but the soft skills. What we think has been our most important piece of work to date is just elevating that consciousness around this challenge. So in our first season, we ran a docuseries just to test whether or not we were going to get, you know, any kind of feedback. Yep. Subscribers, people driving this issue. And we had over 13 million views and about 10,000 subscribers to our YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok channels. So very quickly, in less than a year, we launched it in October of last year. Our docuseries brought in to the conversation within the Skills Jam platform, 10,000 people wanted to talk about this issue. And we continue to build on that. So we're about to release what we're referring to as season two. But season two is going to be always on. And, you know, we have some, I won't give it away because it's not out yet, but we have some surprising people who are involved in season two in the influencer space, somebody you guys will recognize and, quite frankly, parents will recognize. And we want to make sure that we're also talking to the parents in this conversation, right? If a kid is watching or a student is watching something on YouTube, having that conversation with the parents, say, hey, did you know that this is an opportunity for me? And at least having content that the parents can consume too and go, okay, hey, maybe we should talk about this a bit further and consume it. So I think that 13 million views and subscribers in a very short window is a good indicator that we're on to something here and we just need to continue to put our foot on the gas and keep going with the content we're creating.
Right.
It just blows my mind with the taking the stance with the with a docuseries that it's created that many views in that short amount of time. But it further lends, know where your audience is and how they're consuming the content. And I think that's a huge miss today that a lot of, I would say, trade companies are missing out on because they don't want to get in front of the camera. They don't want to do something like that and be vulnerable, if you will, and showing people what it's about. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important point. Most of us in hiring positions in organizations, big or small, did not grow up with social media, right? Mm-hmm. Probably most of us can remember what a rotary phone felt like.
Oh, yeah.
Or the very long cord on the digital phone, like that you had to take around the corner. And
have the conversation, with your girlfriend. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, yeah, to the bar later. Don't tell mom.
Yeah, you know. But so very quickly, the technology has kind of just moved people off of those in-person conversations to those virtual online conversations. And I think just acknowledging that what we think people are doing and growing up in an environment where those things didn't exist is how younger people are doing it. And we all have, you know, it sounds like we all have kids or you know, nieces and nephews. Yep. Like we know where they're spending their time.
Right. Now I want to just kind of turn the conversation just a little to kind of pick up on some stuff from your past experience with the Movember Foundation. Because it's also part of the stigma that we have, like putting things on social media, people are doing that and they're kind of showing you in an inauthentic way, quote unquote, to get views. And it's leading to a lot of, I would say perceived, but it's not. My family is experiencing this right now with social media and the impact on youth minds.
Correct.
Right. So I'm looking at like how that's being bridged with what you guys are doing, like with social media and how you're also helping to amplify that stigma that's actually out there within the trade space of mental health.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we all, you know, grew up before social media and
Movember
was one of the first organizations that really embraced Facebook back in the day in 2004 when Movember started. They started in 2003 and Facebook came on the scene in 2004 and they were very early adopters of Facebook as a way to create social content, social connection. I think the challenge is that how those platforms were created was really around first that social connection, you know, knowing some of those down the hallway or someone on the campus or whatever the case may be. It blossomed into marketing companies, right? So most of what you see is, you know, distillated, look at my perfect life and look at the
correct
the wealth I've created, right? And it's a very cultivated experience for a lot of people. So you move from this very social connection intent behind social media to now just, we want to market things at you, right? And then you get into the dark spaces of social media, which I think is a real challenge. And look, we saw it a lot at Movember, particularly as social media is starting to grow and you move from, you know, just Facebook to Snapchat to, you know, TikTok, yep. Instagram, to everything else that's kind of come on the scene. At some point, there was this thing called MySpace, right? And where you just knew.
I was wondering if we were going to get there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's I think it's still out there somewhere on the internet. But all kidding aside, you saw that progression to what we're now waking up to, which is, oh, our kids aren't in a good space because of what they're seeing online or how they're being interacted with online, right? You know how the algorithms work. Mm-hmm. They're feeding stuff to young girls that absolutely should not be fed to young girls about body image. So I think just to acknowledge that's part of the challenge with social media and leveraging social media for good. You know, part of Movember's approach, part of Skill Careers Coalition with SkillsJam approach is show like what's the positivity. Like we were very conscious of at Movember of showing, you know, the positive side, the healthy side of masculinity. But also acknowledging that there were challenges, right? So we often refer to the mustache as there were two sides to that mustache. One was the fun, engaging side of the mustache, growing an awkward mustache with your buddies or supporting your husband and looking the other way at Thanksgiving, all the way through to the serious side of the mustache, which was really using the mustache as a Trojan horse to engage men in a serious conversation about their, whether it was their physical health or whether it was their mental health.
Right.
And so you can still do that work. I still think we can do that work in Skilled Careers Coalition, where we're leveraging fun, engaging content by younger individuals who are passionate about what they're doing, but get other people to think seriously about that as a career for them. So it's that push-pull of what social media was, what it now is, and how can we still leverage it for good, right? We spend more time worrying about our kids' safety offline than we do online, and we got to figure out how to get that balance right.
Yes.
Agreed. Completely agree. Mark, so how do organizations connect with you if they want to support from a funding perspective or get involved or be a sponsor or have opportunities for some of those kids that are out there? How do people find you, get a hold of you, become part of the movement?
Well, I mean, for those that are of my age, you know, maybe older generations, if you just go to skilledcareers.org, that's our website. That's built for, in a lot of ways, this kind of conversation, longer form content, what we're talking to, because that audience really is, we want to be talking to parents, we want to be talking to teachers, advisors, counselors, and those in industry around what we can do together. If you want to understand what we're doing with our youth marketing and the by youth for youth movement we're creating with Skills Jam, just go over to skillsjam.com or you can search on Skills Jam on YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok. So skillcareers.org or skillsjam.com is a start point for some of the older folks. And if you're on TikTok, just search for Skills Jam.
Okay. Because one of the things, a common theme that we get through our many of our guests is, you know, they're going into the high schools directly. They're going in marketing and being involved. They might be mentoring at robotics. They might be sponsoring something. They might be refereeing local sports at the high school level, different things to get to know and understand the kids to bring them into their own organizations. Skills Jam may be a way for them to also see other ways to attract and retain talent and get their organizations involved, I would assume. Is that correct or not correct?
I think it's two things. So, you know, look, we're looking at it from a sector national level all the way down to a regional local level. So if I'm thinking about someone who's got a plumbing business in Illinois, it's still a lot of boots on the ground to understand who's in your backyard, who's going through CTE programming that might be employable in your business. But it's also, like we were talking about before, you know, those platforms are great advertising marketing platforms if you do it right and you do it well. And you can, and they're built in such a way that you can be hyper local in terms of how you're trying to engage people like, hey, I run a plumbing business. I'm looking for talent. I can put it in my backyard, right? And really localize my media to that point. Exactly what you guys are doing with podcasts and, you know, who you're looking for and out there and sort of directing traffic back to you from those opportunities. So even at a local level, I think there's, you know, it's always going to be boots on the ground till you build that muscle and that trust with the local CTE program or those that are advising these kids or getting to meet the kids and bringing them over to what you're trying to do. That's always going to be there. But I think you can get some efficiency or capacity out of how do I market myself online, right? How do I talk to the individuals, right? We're always going to be, for the most part, Skills Jam or Skill Careers Coalition is always going to be at 10,000 feet. We want to talk about the larger issue and what's happening in space.
Yeah.
But if you're someone who's really on the ground in Illinois that has a plumbing business, you want to understand, like, what does that 5,000, 1,000 foot view look like online? And then making sure you're continuing to establish that in-person trust with those local programs as well as the students that are coming through.
Okay. One last question. Magic wand. The magic wand question. If you had the magic wand, Mark, what does success over the next 5 years look like for the Skills Career Coalition?
I think two things. Back to the supply-demand issue, that we're making market progress and trackable evidence-based progress on filling that gap, that we're seeing more than 10 to 11 million individuals select CTE as their opportunity for education and training and then moving into that workforce. I would want to see another couple million folks in that pipeline in the next 5 years.
Okay.
That second part is that set of recruitment and placement infrastructure, ecosystem, whatever you want to call it, better aligned. And look, we're not asking for a nirvana. We're not, you know, assuming that you're going to get perfect alignment. Right. Just getting some level of alignment and bringing more people into the coalition, the conversation. And just to be really clear, the Skill Careers Coalition is a nonprofit-based organization. So we're not looking at it from a revenue shareholder perspective. We're just saying, hey, how can we help others? How can we bring people together? So I think making some market progress, and the indicator for that, the KPI for that, is that we've got a lot of people coming into the coalition wanting to have this conversation together. I think to your point and what we've been talking about, everyone's kind of doing it on their own. And I think a good marker for us as a coalition is we've got 10 to 20, and then we're building to 30 to 40. And it's an amalgamation of those that have national level challenges with respect to a sector, all the way down through to, you know, those on the ground that are really trying to figure out how do I resolve or build this issue in my backyard, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that national level, but also that regional, local level. So to me, a couple more people in the pipeline that are coming through schooling and maybe filling those jobs quicker to deal with that demand. And then with the coalition that we're, you know, north of 40 to 50 organizations, individuals, big, small, coalescing around this idea. And I think our approach here is, look, we're here to be, and I used to say this in November all the time, we are the roadies, the youth, the individuals, and the organizations that are trying to get to them are the rock stars. So how do we help set everything up? And then how do we make sure that they're playing the best show they possibly can?
I love that. I love that analogy because it is true, right? Everybody's looking for an answer and there's no place to go. Locally, I've got part of a skilled trades foundation here locally. We can go out, we can talk, but we can't get anybody to give us their time, right? We can get the money. We just can't get the time to do that. And four people can't do all the things that we need to do or want to do. So I'm grateful that you are putting this together and trying to funnel into one location because the industry needs a location to go do something with. So, Mark, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you sharing your story, your passion, your enthusiasm for what you are doing. And we're very grateful to have you today.
Thank you, Brad and Steve. Appreciate the time and look forward to the coming weekend.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.